I want us to think for a little while this Christmas day about Jesus coming to do away with confusion. There are many things about Christmas Day that might make us smile. Receiving presents, Christmas dinner, all the lights and decorations and the festivities. Some people are not too keen on Christmas time. I love Christmas time. And I don't know what sort of presents you've had for Christmas this year. Some people are very safe presents. Scarves and socks and gloves. Some have risky presents. Any husbands buying their wives new clothes for Christmas? Will the fashion police be called in? There's all sorts of risks in that. Some presents give us a hint. Deodorants. Aftershave. Give us a little hint as to why we've been given that particular present. Well, God's gift, when God the Father sent his only Son into the world 2,000 years ago, Jesus was sent to be a Savior. We read about it in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you, this was told to the shepherds, it's the gospel to them, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. As the shepherds are recovering from that shock and the fear of meeting an angel, they're told about this great news. But in the message that's given to them, there is also a hint. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. A Savior has been born for you. So you see what that implies. If God has sent a Savior into the world, it's telling us we need to be saved. A Savior is someone who saves people. The gift, a Savior, gives us a hint. What do we need to be saved from, is the big question there. Well, the Bible says we need to be saved because all of us face consequences where we live our lives without God as top priority. The Bible calls it sin. Human selfishness and pride, sin. Living without God. So this Christmas Day, I want us to think about Jesus saving us and perhaps three things that we can think about. Jesus the Savior. That Jesus first saves us from confusion about God. Most of us believe that there's more to life than just what we can see and touch. We sort of sense that there's more to life than just being in this world. We look around us, we see the people around us, we have a sense of it in our own hearts and mind. We see the hallmarks of design, and we sense eternity. Yes, there are people who believe the whole thing is a cosmic accident. But you might say to yourself this morning, well, I just don't have the faith to believe that I'm here only by chance. That there's nothing more to it than that we live and we die and that's it. We think there must be something more, a higher power. But the question is, who is it? So there are many people who have that sort of spiritual search. And there are all sorts of voices around us this morning saying different things. And it may be we are left confused. We sense eternity. We sense that there's something more powerful at work in the universe. Indeed, we hope that there is something more powerful at work in the universe. We want to be part of a bigger story. We want there to be a God. But it may be we are confused about his identity. Well, the Bible is saying to us this morning, be confused no more, because Jesus can save us from our confusion about God. Look at what we are told about Jesus. When the angel said, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We'll focus on that title, the Lord, for a moment. That's the Bible's way of talking about someone who is God, the Lord, divine. The Bible is telling us that this Jesus, this historical man who talked and ate and drank, who lived and died 2,000 years ago, this man is the God-man, the Lord. We could say Jesus is God with a human face. And of course, the implications of that are wonderful. Guessing games are finished. Confusion is dispelled. How can we know God? How can we know who God is and what God is like? Well, if Jesus is God with a human face, Jesus reveals God to us. And if you want to know what God thinks about you and me and about salvation and the way to come to him, listen to Jesus, because Jesus is fully God. So you see, it's great news. If you're confused about God, you don't have to be confused any longer, the Bible is saying. Jesus can save you from your confusion about God. He is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, God. Jesus saves us from our confusion about God. And then secondly, Jesus saves us from confusion about life. I don't know if anyone's here ever bought anything from IKEA. Anyone bought anything from IKEA? I think you need a PhD in engineering to buy something from IKEA. I don't know if you're the sort of person who likes to follow the assembly instructions assiduously. Or you just get all this stuff and you throw the instructions away and just have a go at putting it together. The problem is, whenever I have a stab at self-assembly, I come to the end and then there's this bit that's not in what I've just put together. I think, well, where should this bit have gone? Now, you can take it all apart again, which is usually what I have to do. And it's okay, you can usually fix the mistake. And then if you search out the instructions that you threw away, you find, yes, I should have put that bit in first. But it's just a piece of furniture. But then life can be very complicated, can't it? It's more complicated than furnishing, putting together, even from IKEA. And when we mess up, when we get things wrong in our lives, we sense, I can't put this back together myself. Which is why the Bible talks about a saviour, a rescuer to save us. So if we follow through this sense that we're not here by accident, there's a creator, there's design. If IKEA can give instructions how to put something together, then surely the creator gives us instructions about life on this planet. We're not just left to go our own way. One of the reasons why, in going our own way and rebelling against God, the world ends up in more and more of a mess. No, we sense there is a loving creator who shows us about life, not just to spoil our fun, but to show us what life was intended to be, how we meant to thrive, which is what happened when Jesus came into this world then and set up something called the kingdom of God. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the Jewish people were expecting Emmanuel, God with us, a ruler, a king, a savior, to be sent from God. And he would gather people who would trust in him, submit to his loving rule. And the Old Testament tells us many things about him, that he would come into this world through a virgin conception. Born in this unique way. That he would be born in Bethlehem, a particular town. Not the Bethlehem in the north, but the Bethlehem in the south. He would be a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He would amaze people with his teaching. He would authenticate who he was with miracles and signs and wonders. He would even suffer and die, but would be raised to life again. This amazing person, Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the Christ in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. There is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, the word Christ there is not Jesus' surname. It's not like in this ancient registration, like my name's Spencer Kanner, my surname. Jesus Christ's surname. No, Christ was Jesus' title. It's his job, if you like. He was the anointed one, the promised one, the long-expected Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the promised one from God. Jesus, the anointed one. It was about talking about the King Messiah that the Jewish people were waiting for. So we need to realize then that authentic Christianity is not just a Christmas thing. It's not even a once-a-week thing on a Sunday. It's the dedication of an entire life to Jesus Christ. To entirely giving yourself to Jesus as the Savior King and entering by faith, by the work of the Holy Spirit, God's kingdom. You see, if you're a Christian here this morning in the United Kingdom, you're actually living in two kingdoms. You're a member of the United Kingdom, a citizen of the United Kingdom. This is where you live at the moment. But if you're a Christian, you belong to God's kingdom. This is great news, says the Bible. If you're looking for direction, for health, for help, if you'd like to live life to the full, live the way you were designed and meant to live, you trust and you follow the King. And by faith in Jesus Christ, you enter God's kingdom. And that saves you from confusion about life. Why am I here? What is life all about? How am I meant to live? The answers are found in the kingdom of God. Enter God's kingdom. Live God's way. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This life in God's kingdom. Do you belong to the kingdom of God this morning? Jesus saves us from confusion about God. He saves us from confusion about life. And then Jesus saves us, thirdly, from confusion about eternity. If God has put this sense of eternity in our hearts, there is more to life just living in this world, eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we die, that's it. No, deep down we sense there's more than that. There's a world to come. There's life beyond death. And as I say, deep down we all sense and know it. And everyone is destined then to face the judgment before the God who is the God who's created them, to face God and to see how we have treated God. And the Bible again is very clear. Jesus frequently warned people that there was a day of reckoning, a day when we'd be held accountable. How we've lived on this planet. And this problem then of sin, where we've all fallen short of God's standards, Savior, that's what we need, a Savior. The Savior who saves us from our sins, saves us from the judgment to come, that we might have this eternity in God's presence, living in God's kingdom forever. Now, it's often said that the death of Jesus then to save his people shows us how much God loves us. Jesus saves us from sin. But we do need to think about it. Why does someone's death show us someone's love? We've all been prevented from traveling for so long now with these restrictions. And perhaps we're hoping next year, perhaps once these vaccines roll out and things work out well, perhaps there'll be some time next year where we'll be able to have a holiday. Say I took my wife on holiday to Paris and we went up the Eiffel Tower. And then I said to Wendy, now I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to jump off the Eiffel Tower and I'll be dead. And you say, hang on, don't do that. That doesn't show anybody how much you love them. That's a crazy thing to do. How does someone's death show how much they love them? Well, the Bible explains it for us. That Jesus' death was as someone dying in our place, as a substitute. Listen to how the Bible describes it for us in Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 to 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That suffering and death coming into the world ends up messed up because of human rebellion and sin. Sin then is massively problematic. Its short-term effects and its long-term consequences. And this great problem, it separates us from God. God does not leave us in this world in sin without a remedy. The Bible is saying he came into this world in the person of his Son, who lived amongst us to show us who God is and what God is like. Jesus experienced our humanity, sin apart, weakness, suffering, and death. But that the death Jesus endured on the cross, it's not like me jumping off the Eiffel Tower. Jesus' death on the cross was not a consequence of his own sin. He was perfect. He always did what was pleasing to his Father. He died willingly as a substitute. He bore our sins. He took on himself the punishment that those sins deserved. That's why he died. Again, a long time, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah described this death of Jesus the Messiah. Listen to Isaiah describing for us who Jesus is and why he would die. Surely he, the Messiah, Jesus, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus' death is opening up for us the way then to have a relationship with God to receive salvation, which is this complete, full, wonderful work that Jesus accomplishes to reverse the problem of sin, that we might have eternal life. Jesus' death rescues his followers, those who trust in him, from judgment. And you might think, well, what about my sins and the punishment they deserve? And it's as if when you trust in Jesus Christ, Jesus the King puts his arm around your shoulder and says, now, look back with me to what happened 2,000 years ago. That death on the cross was for you. It was instead of you. I bore your sins and their punishment, that you can be freely forgiven and you can enter my kingdom now and live forever. So the message at the heart of the Christian faith is this greatest news, that Jesus saves us from our confusion about God, our confusion about life, and also our confusion about eternity. How can I spend eternity with God? Forgiven, in joy, through faith in Jesus Christ. We learn from what the shepherds did. When the angel had gone away from the shepherds into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They checked out the evidence And once they discovered it was true, they told as many people as they could about Jesus. Maybe this Christmas you need to check out the evidence for yourself. That's a good thing to do. Christianity is not blind faith. It's a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is based on reliable evidence, facts. It makes sense to check out that the things which I've said today are true. You can read God's word. You can read Luke's gospel, for example. I'm hoping in the new year to begin to look at Luke's gospel here in the church. Check it out. See it for yourself. Where are you spiritually this Christmas Day morning? It may be this is all new to you. And you can be like the shepherds and check it out for yourself. Read Luke's gospel. Start coming along as we study Luke's gospel together. Call on God. Ask him to reveal himself to you by the work of the Holy Spirit. And if this morning you hear the gospel with the hearing of repentance and faith, then you can cry out to God. Ask Jesus Christ to save you. That's why he came into the world. A savior. Which is why this message about Jesus is really good news of great joy to all people. Because as the angel said to the shepherds, so God says to us this morning by his words, by his word and Holy Spirit, the angel said to the shepherds, this is to you. This is for you. And that's the word of God to us this morning. Here's a savior to you, for you. That God's people may rejoice this morning, this Christmas day. A Savior was born to us, for us. You receive him by faith. And as the carol says, where meek souls receive him, Christ enters in by faith, born in us today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for this indescribable, this unspeakable gift, the gift of your Son sent into this world for our salvation. Jesus saves us from confusion about God. He reveals God to us. He saves us from confusion about life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He saves us from confusion about eternity. How can I be forgiven? How can I escape what my sins deserve at judgment and instead know acceptance before God and an eternal home? Through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who on the cross took that judgment in our place, condemned in our place, that we may know God's blessing this morning. So we rejoice. We rejoice this Christmas day. And we give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have a closing hymn, which will come up for us, which reminds us then of joy to the world, the Lord is come. Again, we'll stay sitting. us receive the Lord's benediction. Let's pray. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father Almighty, God the Son, we celebrate his birth this Christmas day, and from God the Holy Spirit, be with each one of you and with all God's people today, and not only today, but even forevermore. Amen.